Hey, Supermom. We know every mom has a desire and ability to be a supermom who does it all. So tune in to the Crunchy Supermom Show and let's design a holistic life that fits.
Hey, Supermoms. I'm Mandy.
And I'm Sarah.
And we are your hosts and the creators of the Crunchy Supermom blog. If you missed the last episode, tune into episode 010, where we go into great detail on the case for raw milk and why on earth processed nut milks are Whole30 approved, but raw milk doesn't make the cut. In this episode today, we're talking about our ridiculously messy homes. Yes, you heard me right. Our homes are messy too. And not just messy sometimes. I would say they're messy every single day because we have very young children who are home with us all day since we homeschool. Let's just get to it. Be sure to subscribe so you can never miss an episode. Get the power plan at crunchysupermom.com/011. We're adding a segment to our shows called the 2-Minute Tear Apart, where we closely examine something we have come across in our lives to determine if it fits our goal of living a healthy life. At the end of the 2 minutes, you should know the ins and outs of the practice or product we tear apart. Are you ready, Sarah? Should we do this?
I am. Let me get 2 minutes on the clock here, because you're going to take this one away for us, right?
Yes.
Alrighty. And here we go.
Okay, this week I'm going to talk about my favorite cleaning tool and one that I know I can't live without, and it is a steam mop. I mop a huge area of our home twice a week since we have hardwood floors in part of our house with this steam mop, and it really doesn't take me over 15 minutes from start to finish, and there is no way I could ever have clean floors without this tool. It takes me no time to fill a container with some distilled water, put on the mopping pad, plug it in, and get started. Some brands, I think, don't require distilled water, but I do think that using it prolongs the life of the steam mop. My specific recommendation is for the Bissell steam mop because I've been so happy with their customer service. I have the Bissell PowerFresh steam mop. However, I don't use the scented items that come with the steam mop at all, and you do not need to. I've used the same mop for quite a few years, but when I had my first mop break while it was still under warranty, all I had to do was email the company and explain what was happening. They told me all I had to do was take a picture of my mop with the cord cut, and they'd send me a new one right away. I had a brand new mop in my hands within a week, and it was virtually painless for me, since all I needed was the proof that I was not keeping my old one. That was the picture thing of the cut electrical cord. And we are not affiliates of Bissell, so this is just my completely unbiased experience with them.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I was definitely sold when you told me about that. So
yeah, I know, it's huge.
I could not find it locally, and I moved into a really terrible house for a little bit, and we just went and got the Shark, and it's working okay, but I've read about the Bissell. It sounds amazing, but a steam mop in general, I think I agree with you. I couldn't live without it.
No, it's just, it's so much easier. Much faster.
It definitely is. Wow, we came under time on that one, but do you use any other mop in between your steam mop?
I don't. I just use that one. And I'll do it twice a week, and because it's so fast, and even my older kids could even use it. Like, they'll do it sometimes, but then it turns into a huge fight over who gets to use it, so.
That's funny.
Sometimes it's not worth it.
Well, there's our 2 minutes. That was great. So my only question again with that, do you buy gallons of distilled, or do you use your distiller?
I just use our distiller because we have it and that's what we use.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I'm just using, I do use the Berkey water. My kids are like, Mom, don't waste the good drinking water to clean. But I want to preserve it, but I don't know if you have to either.
I don't either. Yeah. A lot of them say now that you don't have to, and it probably might not matter.
Right. And a warning to anyone who uses essential oils when they're mopping, you can put it on your mop pad, but don't put it inside your reservoir, no matter what other people say. Have you read how people recommend doing that?
No, I didn't even know that was an
option. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's just oil. Oil and water, they don't mix.
So no.
Putting oil inside of that reservoir is not a good idea. But I put like a drop of orange on my pad right before I put it on the steam mop, and that's it. Just for scent.
Nice. Yeah. That sounds good, yeah. So now I guess we need to get back to our messy home. So since we've been talking about cleaning.
I know. Now that you let the cat out of the bag, I guess we need to talk about the messy house. Yes. Explain yourself, Mandy.
Sometimes I wonder, because of all of our discussion on routines and cleaning, if people don't think maybe our homes look perfect all the time. Do you think that we sound that way?
I really do. I mean, I've said it before that on one of our past episodes, actually, that I had a mom come by after we'd all been sick with the flu, and she just stopped by to pick up some food. And she's like, I am so happy to see your house this messy. And I was just like, one, she probably never witnessed like the kids and I in action before. You know, obviously, if you're hosting, your house is clean.
Yeah.
I just thought it was so funny. Everyone must think that our house is perfectly clean every single second of the day, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
No. I wish it was, like, me personally.
Yeah, in my dreams, it totally is.
Right, exactly. I mean, but every day, it's a mess. And it's gotten less messy because I have worked really hard to declutter. And I don't know how, but, like, I mean, I'm constantly trying to declutter. And like, we just haul off, like, stuff. And I'm like, we are not bringing in this much. Yeah. But I think that, like, you know, I'm trying to be more purposeful with anything that I buy so that we don't bring in more stuff. But with four kids at home all day, parts of my house are truly messy every single day.
Right.
And I mean, I would love it, like we said, if it could just stay neat all the time, but that's not feasible with little kids.
Oh, no.
Without limiting their play. And of course, I don't want to do that. And I guess the biggest difference that maybe that other people are seeing is that we are able to pick up our mess at the end of the day and we end with a clean home. And so that gives me, like, it reduces my anxiety and helps me not feel just frustrated because I feel like things are under control. I don't have to sweat the messes that they create throughout the day because I know that it's going to be cleaned up. And we have what we call clean sweeps, where we just have different parts of the day where we're set aside for picking up. But the main thing, the main one that we do is things have to be put away in the correct spots in the late afternoon. So before dinner. And there's times they'll leave out certain toys that are, they all set up, you know, they have this giant setup and they don't want to put it away. So we leave that out for them, but everything else around it will be cleaned up so they can just have the space to play with that one setup that they have. Right. So how about you? How is your messy home?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same, I do the same thing that you do. I am in like an abundantly messy season of life, and it's not working super well for my husband. you know, I mean, he and I are just like you, Mandy. I mean, we're practically immobilized by clutter and mess. Uh-huh. I mean, it just makes us so unhappy. And so we've always figured out how to parent in a way that promotes that free range, wild child lifestyle that we believe is the best for our kids, you know, yeah. But we still want to maintain that neat and tidy home. It has taken practice and discipline, but my husband is the first one to forget that having a 2-year-old is like when it comes to messes. I mean, I don't know. You know, you can look at a mess and say, that's a productive mess. I know what's going on over there and it'll get taken care of. But the 2-year-old right now, she pretty much just makes messes that are just for the sake of making messes. And, and they're horrible. They're hard to clean up. And I mean, like, I'm not as stressed out by them as I was with like our first child, because it's like, oh my gosh, you were so perfect. What happened to you? but like, I can keep in mind that when our youngest one is 4, she'll be an active part of that daily tidying. And, you know, there's times where she sings the cleanup song and she'll pick up her mess. But then towards the end of the day, about the time, like you said, when everybody's cleaning up for the day, like the final sweep through the house,
right?
She is literally finding whatever she can to just shred it and tear it apart. And he comes home and he's just, you know, what is going on? anyway, but until that age of 4, I'm just kind of praying for tolerance for my husband and endurance for me as I listen to him mutter those comments under his breath about what am I doing all day?
Right.
But, you know, ultimately what you and I both are hoping for is that we're airing our dirty laundry here, so to speak, to help our listeners understand the big picture. We're marrying our desire for tidiness with our parenting reality.
Right. That's really what it's about. Like, what can you handle? What's going to make you a better, like, more patient parent? You know, what's going to work for you? And I think, like we're talking about, it's different for everyone, you know, because what I might need is not what someone else might need. So what our questions are for our listeners to think about: what do you do to manage your mess without having it take over your life and make you feel out of control? Because I think that's one of my big feelings. Like, if I see this giant mess and I don't know how it's going to get cleaned up,
right,
you know, I feel out of control. And so Another question, what do you think is stopping you from decluttering and making it easy to clean up the messes that the kids invariably make all day, every day?
Yeah.
And whatever your reason is, and for myself, I can name quite a few that have stopped me over the years, mostly being just super busy without any time alone to actually get organized.
Yeah.
You're going to spend energy either working around your mess, attempting to ignore your mess, trying to find things inside of your mess, or actually cleaning your mess and setting yourself up to be able to easily clean your mess on a daily basis. And I think the biggest thing is to figure out which way you want to spend your energy. And if it is cleaning or organizing your mess, we really would like to help you do that with some of our power plan ideas. And that's one of the things we want to talk about now too, is this, the power of habit. And for you to start thinking about your daily routine, is it conducive to straightening your messy home, or does it leave you with extra work all the time? And I'm just going to take our favorite example of not cleaning the kitchen after supper that we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
And the next morning, you have to fight through the mess to find plates, cups, forks. And so now you've done all this extra work just trying to get breakfast on the table. And you probably feel frazzled because, you know, the kids are probably screaming at you for food. And you're like, I can't find the whatever you need. And the same is true for the messes that kids create. If they don't clean them up, they're not going to be able to play as well. They're not going to feel as calm, and they will soon get overwhelmed with the toys and mess. I remember with my first, you know, before I really had any kind of a system at all, and they would feel so overwhelmed by the sheer amount of toys they could pull out. And, you know, they can't clean it up because they're just, I mean, I understand the feeling totally, because that's how I feel too. If I had like this huge mess and I'm responsible for cleaning it up, it's just overwhelming and out of control. And so we were able to reduce their toys down and, you know, figure out a system so they didn't feel that way, which is what you have to do for yourself too, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Maria Montessori said it best, and this is one of my favorite quotes from her. The environment must be rich in motives which lend interest to activity and invite the child to conduct his own experiences. And she's pretty much saying that a child's going to turn an environment that's tidy into a productive activity to learn and experience the world. But if there's piles of clutter lying around and bins of mixed up toys, and then you add that with like your craft collection that you allow the kids to play with, your couch is basically going to be turned into a collage.
Yeah.
And that has happened to me. I mean, that's the truth.
Right.
But if you have a clean, inviting environment, it's your child's going to, basically they're going to want to keep it that way, even though they don't know. It's almost automatic. They don't even realize that it's clean. It's not like they're like, oh, hey, look at this really clean room. Let's go play in it. But yep. That is actually what they do. They just go, they say, hey, look at this really great room. I'm going to go play in it. And
yeah. And
it's just, it's not just about being a clean and orderly person. It's also about kind of feeling sane in your environment, being uplifted or engaged by it. And this is the case for children too. We don't give them enough credit that they see beauty in their environment just like we do, clean lines and open spaces. That's just as inviting to them as it is for us. So
that's true. I've seen it over and over. Like, you know, if you go in, again, especially whenever I was doing a lot of the straightening when my first two were really young, and it was just invariably, if you straightened it up and made it look all nice, that was what they wanted to play with. Whatever you had put away, that was exactly what they wanted. So, I mean, but again, like you said, I understand because that's how I feel.
Oh, absolutely.
About my house too. But back to the building good habits. I really think this is the first step toward the cleaning routine. These habits are like, I think of them kind of like tiny building blocks of a good routine. Because for me, the routine has taken a while to form, and then obviously it does change, but a lot of my habits stay the same, even if my actual routine changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you may not have a full after dinner routine worked out yet, but you can have the good habit of putting all the dishes into the dishwasher and starting it. Maybe you don't have a full laundry routine in place, but you can have the good habit of doing all laundry twice a week, or even one load a day, like you talk about, you know,
mm-hmm.
or even something like the sheets on a certain day. Just those small little habits that are going to help you get into a good routine and put it into place and find out what works for you.
Right. I mean, the one small crunch at a time that we talk about, it applies here times 1,000. I mean, the more you repeat that action, that small step, like you're saying, just doing the dishes after dinner, the quicker you're going to get at it. And the more you can kind of expand the action to include like a nearby task. So right. do the dishes every night after dinner and I wipe the counters. So that's, you know, now you're building your evening routine. So
right. And without having to think about it, right. You know, the habit is so ingrained that you don't have to put mental energy into it anymore, which is like a huge relief, because at that point in the day, my mental, I'm done. You know, if I after dinner, I'm like, oh, we have bedtime routine still to go. But like having to think too much about what I need to do and when I need to do it, when the kids are like all hyped up and talking to you a mile a minute, you know, because mine get really wound up at that time of day. Like,
yes.
Sure. They're like all talking and all super excited. So I cannot think. So I have to just go on autopilot, which is a huge, it's just easier. And my favorite habits are the ones that are just the most necessary for me. And again, the laundry and the dishes. I start my dishwasher at night. I have it empty before breakfast every day. I do all of our laundry twice a week on certain days. And then I do one load, other load of laundry every day as well. One or two, or maybe three, depending on the little babies or whatever's going on in our lives. It basically never stops going, I think.
No, I'm sure not.
My other favorite habit is cleaning up one section of the house before breakfast. And I do this straightening or cleaning, even if the kids are in the midst of like this huge game of playing and making a huge mess like around me. I still go about my own daily habit and I don't worry about their mess because I know that they're going to clean their part at a different time. Like they're not in with mine, you know,
right,
necessarily on my same routine, but they're going to pick it up in a few minutes even, you know, and it allows me just to like step around their mess without feeling anxious because I know when they're going to get their parts cleaned up. And my favorite tiny habit I try to do each week, which I have like several that I've tried to start. Mm-hmm. And just like, cause I get overwhelmed and I think, oh, I can't get this done because I have no time. So instead of doing that, I'm trying to like do my little 5 minutes or whatever. And I've started doing one minor drawer or cabinet, nothing like where you have to like spend more than 5 minutes, but just, you know, working it out. So it's not a huge ordeal, but it's only going to take me 5 minutes now. And it just keeps things a little bit more organized and less time consuming when I do a deep clean.
Right. We do something similar, in our home, and I have, zones. So my little 5 minute, 15, I run a 5 or 15 minute timer to kind of get in the drawers, so you say per room. So my zone, like last week, was the office. So right. Anytime I would set the timer, I would just do like a drawer in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know, we went through a lot of our really detailed cleaning routines in episode 6. So our listeners, if they missed that, they can find it at www.crunchysupermom.com/00006, or you can find it in iTunes. If you're a subscriber, you would know when all the new stuff comes out, which it always includes a power plan and we link to that and everything. But we just want to reiterate that none of our cleaning routines were formed all at once or even within the same season of life at all. I mean, that's just,
right.
That's just expecting way too much from yourself. So,
yeah.
But yeah, we hope this podcast has provided a little bit of insight into our messy homes. And don't tell anyone. No, just kidding.
Right. <yeah. laughs>
And, you know, just take our advice on how to form these little habits that are the foundation of our routines and how these things help us clean up our messy homes on a daily basis. And Supermoms, we're now asking you to take a look at your current habits with regard to your messy home. And if you want to keep it a secret, you know, just keep saying, my house is never messy though. We are certain the power plan we made for you is going to help you get this going. And if you found the episode helpful, we would really love to hear about it. And come and ask us a question. Leave us a comment in iTunes or find us on our private Facebook group that you can get an invitation to when you download the power plan for this episode. And we would love it if you could share it so other super moms like you can find us.